Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 212. My name is John Morgan. Cole Coffee is with me. We are in beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada on a Thursday afternoon. I guess it's evening time now, just the sun setting. My day's been going crazy. The last couple days, man, I've spent just chilling in the Performance Institute all day long doing interviews. I've lost all sense of time. It's so quiet and peaceful in there.
Surprised they haven't given you like a little cube over there or something.
Oh, that'd be nice. Yeah, give me a little pass to get in, a little cubicle in there. That'd be good. No, definitely not. But
does the security guy recognize you now at the gate?
The security guys
do recognize. He doesn't know my name. Every once in a while, he'll ask me, like not the Joe, the younger guy that was always out there, but it's like the bigger guy. Maybe he looks like he's Samoan or Hawaiian or something. Yep. He's always like, hey, how are you?
He's a good dude.
And every once in a while, I'll ask him my name, but he's like, yeah, come on in.
They just wave me in. They used to see me there. It's good. So, yeah, going to bring you some of that content. It's actually going to be rolling out on MMA Junkie. Did quite a few interviews over the last couple of days. So it's been fun kind of hanging out there and doing that. But I basically just stayed back in the media area. I wasn't in the actual gym area because there was other people's practices going on that we weren't scheduled for. So, anyway, got some good content, though. Should say, by the way, I will just throw out an apology right now. The fact that we did not have and a half for UFC 236 honestly was an absolute travesty, man, because that fight card, especially the top two fights on there, two of the best fights you're ever going to see. But you know what? We didn't get out of that arena till like 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And by the time we got done working, doing our junkie work, it was like 8 a.m.
Yeah. I was going to say, travesty because we didn't do it, but not travesty because we were working straight up to the next morning. Like, birds were chirping, sun was coming up, and I hate that feeling.
Oh, it's the worst.
Of just like, because it's not like we were partying all night and it's like, oh, hey, the morning's up. We raged all last night. It was like, literally, I haven't stopped working. I don't know how many. I must have caught my fourth or fifth, sixth wind, because there's a couple times literally while I'm waiting for final renders where I'm falling asleep, just in my head, cursing my choice of occupations, cursing my computer that I have to stare at.
I'm telling you, by the end, a little behind the scenes secret, if folks aren't aware of this, but the MMA media as a whole pretty much just hates the shows on the East Coast because the time is so late, man. It's so just ridiculously hour by the time we gather. That's exactly what happens. And, you're used to it. You know what's happening. But, yeah, man, by the end of it, I remember I had to lay down on the couch and just set my alarm for like little 15, 20 minute naps and then like wake up and be like, is that ready to go yet? Is that loaded? Can't do that. So I do feel bad because those fights were phenomenal, man. The Dustin Poirier versus Max Holloway fight was insane. And I think
that was pretty good one.
I think it's probably not getting as much credit as it deserves just because Adesanya versus Gastelum was just absolutely bonkers.
That
was
great.
What I mean? So I thought both of them were great.
Yeah, I wonder if people would have talked more if Max was able to get the champ thing, if maybe they would have did it. I don't know if maybe more people coming in were already thinking like, oh, Poirier's got this,
Right.
He's way too big for Max, and maybe people just discounted it. But I think for a guy like Dustin, as hard and as long as he's been grinding and being the good guy that he is,
for sure,
you figure that more people would be very, very – I mean, I think people are happy for him, but I think more people would be talking about it. But, yeah, you're right. It kind of just fell off the radar. And I mean, the Gastelum Adesanya fight was great, but I don't know. I just wonder that if Max got it and created another story of there being another champ there, that maybe people would have talked more, maybe casuals on the outside would have – talked about it more. I know it was one of those ones where a lot of times, even there in Atlanta, people were like, who's fighting? And you'd say the names. And as big as they are within the bubble, all of us that live in the bubble, we know who it is. We know what is great. But you had to explain it. You had to, like, give them another thing. Oh, this is the guy that, that fought this other guy, Justin Gaethje, was a great fighter. This guy, he was supposed to fight, this, and it just felt like, wow, really using a lot of breath to explain this fight, which he didn't. And I was surprised. There was a couple of times when we were in one of the Ubers where the guy did recognize Izzy's name. He's like, oh, is that Nigerian kid, that does all the whatever? And I'm like, wow.
He's resonating quickly.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's doing the right things. I think he's saying the right things. And clearly, when you look at, like, the YouTube – our YouTube channel, as for what video is really resonating, and it's clearly Izzy.
It's Adesanya. Yeah, Izzy. No question
Izzy
about
by it. Far.
I think you bring up an interesting point because I do feel like Max had started to take that turn as a star. So I don't even know if it's necessarily if the champ-champ thing – I mean, yeah, the champ-champ thing is a big deal, but I almost feel like that's not such a big deal anymore because it's been done so frequently lately.
It seems to get done all
it
the time
It does,
now.
Right? It seems like it's too – but just the fact that I think Max, you know, that personality – I think he had started to become a star. And if you follow the sport closely, and there's no way you don't cheer for Dustin Poirier. There's no way you don't like the guy. And, man, fight week, I changed my staff pick. You know, I had originally turned in Max Holloway, and, of course, we did a preview, and I ended up picking Poirier, and I changed it with my staff pick as well. And, you know, one of the things we have to do when we change a pick is we have to give a reason why, just so there's at least a reason, like, hey, here's why I switched it up. And, dude, it was just being around him last week. Like, you just had this feeling he was not going to be denied, man. It was one of those intangible things. But, you know,
and it couldn't have happened to a nicer guy. I mean, you can't really argue about either one. I think anybody would say either guy, oh, I'm so happy for him. He deserved it. You know, it certainly is warranted from both sides, but especially for Dustin, who doesn't have a belt. He's not going up doing them. It was very, very nice to get him to see that. It's kind of...
It felt like justice. Like, both guys are walking away with belts around their waist. I mean, sure, you don't want to see Max lose. I mean, he's such a good dude. Of course, his kid was there, and his kid was once again a star of Fight Week. But, you know, you see the...
Yeah, he's become quite the ham, isn't he?
Oh, man, he's hilarious. He was dancing at open workouts.
That's what his open workouts now have become. Little Max's. What's it, Rise?
Rush, I believe.
Rush.
Yeah.
Little
Mini
Rush dance parties, you know.
Mini Blessed dance parties.
Yeah.
No, but it was great. And I will say, man, the atmosphere for the fights was nuts, man. Round five for both of those two title fights, man, inside the arena was just absolutely crazy. I mean, you know, I was happy to see Poirier win. I really was, because I think that's good that both those guys have belts around their waist. And I think Max is the bigger star out of the two. I think more people would have been talking about that fight more if Max had won, to be honest with you, just because he's a bigger star. But you know, gutsy stuff from Dustin, dude. Listen, man, Dustin looked done to me after round one, man. He was gassed. I think that pace of that opening round, he was tired. And, man, he had to dig deep. You know, you would see Max start to get a little momentum, and then all of a sudden Dustin would find some energy. And certainly the power that Dustin had was what did the difference. Max couldn't take it. And now, afterwards, UFC President Dana White says he wants to see Holloway go back to 145, and that probably is the right call. But, now we start going back into those weight cuts again, and it is kind of a tough spot for Max right now. But I don't know. I thought it was a phenomenal fight. I just thought the main event didn't get enough credit to me, to be honest with you. I had it even going into that fifth round. I know all the judges had it 4-1, but I had it 3-2. I had it 2-2 going into that fifth round, and I thought Dustin edged it out. And as you said, you just couldn't be happier for the guy.
Yeah, and I'm kind of with you, too. I know a lot of people, if you listen to the rest of the media room, I think they had it, some of them, it seemed like they had it 5-0 or 4-1. But when I looked, I mean, I was definitely close to that. It was a lot closer. I wasn't paying the best attention because I was trying to catch up on some of the work, because we had so many guest fighters and stuff come in. But in my mind, I pretty much was going into the fifth round thinking, like, whoever was able to do more was definitely going to be the one that did it. But, I mean, if you just looked on their faces, easily you could see who was doing more damage, who was doing, had more devastating shots. But you're right. I think Dustin looked a little rougher in that first one, but I don't know if that was just that initial energy dump that I think even him with his experience, I think he can still probably experience, I think, actually get in there getting for a title, because in the later rounds, he looked as energized as ever. So it didn't feel like he was constantly getting depleted. Like, you see some of those guys go out there and just completely gas out, and then they just keep going less and less and less. Like, he looked good, I think, all the way the rest of the fight. I thought he had good energy level. So I don't know if it was just the initial dump of getting in there, getting excited. And he was throwing a lot of heat. He was doing some damage of Max pretty quickly. But it was exciting for me all the way through. I mean, I love the sort of, you know, Max taking the shots, doing the, kind of jawing a little bit, waving them on, you know, kind of doing these things. And I love seeing that sort of thing. And it was a lot of fun. But, yeah, I thought that fight was great. I mean, it was, you know, I know we're going to go right into the co-main, but it was such an energy sort of, I know for me, just spectating, I felt like I spent a lot of energy watching that fight, that it took me a second, too, to get ready for what was coming, because it was almost like, oh, man, now we got to go through this again.
Right.
After watching the Gastelum and Adesanya, I was just like, that whole time thinking, going into that fifth round, or especially in the fourth round, I was like, wow, this could end either way going into that. So by the time we got to the Dustin and Max show, I was just spent. And I was just like, oh, my God, we get to do this again, yep. You know, which was crazy.
I think that's fair, man. I think the crowd felt that way. I think it took everybody a second.
I think it did. But that main event was great. I mean, they certainly deserved to be the main event. I think I would have been even more spent if it was the other way around, and that was the co-main. If I had to watch that before going into the Gassam, I think I probably wouldn't have anything left.
I think it did, man. I think the greatness of the co-main kind of affected how people felt about the main, man. I think it was a great fight, too. But, yeah, you said let's go into that co-main. I mean, just amazing fight, man. I mean, honestly, one of the best title fights ever. I think Gastelum loses absolutely no credit whatsoever. I mean, I don't think you take anything away from his stock at all. But to me, man, this was Adesanya. I mean, to me, this has to tick every box of people that maybe had some reservations about him.
Yeah.
You know, okay, what, you know, I saw a little bit of his grappling against Tavares, but I need to see more. Okay, you saw it. You saw him almost submit Kelvin Gastelum. I mean, he showed some great defensive wrestling. He showed some submission skills as well. Of course, the striking was on display, as it always is. Man, you showed the heart, man. You showed the fact that you can be in trouble and you can dig down deep and you can be tested and still show that you have that capabilities. And, I mean, it's just amazing to me. And I'll be honest, I mean, look, Whitaker is a phenomenal champion. And if Whitaker just went 10 rounds with Yoel Romero, and I mean, anybody that does that deserves all the credit in the world. And I said, I'll quit picking against Robert Whittaker because I swear to God, I've guessed wrong. I think about 8 times in a row now. But damn, man, Adesanya looks good, man. It looks like it's going to be one hell of a fight. And I love the fact that Dana said, yes, we're going to do this down in Australia or New Zealand. You know, I wanted to do it here in the States, but we have to pivot. You know, this has to be down there because I agree, it's going to sell out a stadium. It's going to be cool, and I think it's just a phenomenal opportunity for the fans that they deserve to have that fight down there.
Yeah, it definitely was the biggest time for Izzy to be challenged. You know, nobody's ever heard him like that. You know, when he went back to say, like, going into the fifth round, that he was talking to himself, you know, and he was really sort of muttering up those last moments of, like, here it is, you got to lay it all on the line. You know, what are you made of? You know, what are you going to go in here and do? And I thought that was incredible to see that, because I remember watching it and trying to read his lips and wondering, like, what is he muttering? Because you could tell he wasn't jawing over to Kelvin at that point, but he was saying something. I was waiting for him to, like, start doing some Naruto signs and start summoning something, you know, right before he went in there or something. But he did
that's
all the summoning inside
of
himself.
That's an anime reference, isn't
it?
Okay.
It is. But it was great. I mean, I thought Gastelum, you know, and I was so surprised. So many people were, felt like, hating on Kelvin going in, like, thought he had no chance. And I think for all those people that said that he had no chance, I hope they're all eating their words, because if you didn't think that was a close fight, then you're ridiculous. Like, that literally went to the fifth round and could have went either particular way, but Izzy had more left in the tank, and he brought it together, man, at the end. You know, I think it was so trying for Kelvin, and Kelvin literally every punch he was throwing until he started getting tired had 110% effort. He was swinging to knock Israel's head off.
Yep.
And you could see the damage that he did do when he was landed. But Izzy, I thought he actually did a lot more damage. I mean, Kelvin's got one of those guys that doesn't show it as much as some of the damage that he was taking. I think some of those shots that Izzy was landing was really doing some good work. And I thought the way he was working the midsection, he was working the legs, he was going up and down, you know, he was changing levels really good. And you're right. I mean, like, he had great takedown defense. I mean, he showed a lot of things that a lot of people, I think, were like, oh, Kelvin's going to get him down. And that was one of the things I was thinking. I was like, wow, okay, this is a guy that's really going to test him. If he's either going to be able to get him down and do some ground and pound, or if he doesn't keep that good head movement, he's going to take some shots and he's going to get dropped. And he answered all the questions. You know, he put on an incredible performance. And to go forward, and I'm in the same boat when it comes to Whitaker. After seeing what Whitaker's done, I kind of told myself, I was like, okay, I'm done. I'm not going to pick against him. And I will.
Are you going to pick against him?
No, I am not going to pick against him. And this one I will still hold to, because I think when it comes to power, both him, Whitaker, and Gastelum have incredible power. But I think when it comes to being able to work the hands and come at unique angles that will be confusing for an opponent. I think he does a better job. He's more unorthodox than Kelvin. I think Kelvin is very straightforward, and he can eat shots to deliver his power, and that's usually what works for
him. That's a great point.
But I think Robert will do a better job of maybe not just brute forcing his way in. But again, it's still going to come down to he's going to want to strike with his hands. He does use some leg kicks, but it's when it comes to a battle of leg kicks, Izzy's going to just completely outclass him. And I think he laid a good plan out for what he's probably going to do against a guy that wants to strike him, and he's going to attack those front legs. Mm-hmm. If a guy stays too set on those front legs, he's going to work the shit out of it.
Right.
And then once you stake that front leg away, and then they start having to constantly switch stances or starting to doubt what position they're at, and it's constantly keeping going, then it could be a problem for Robert. But I just think Robert, man, I'm with you, man. Seeing what he was able to do with Yoel, and he was tested by probably one of the hardest hits. And some of the shots that he took would have dropped an elephant, and he was able to recover it. I don't think Izzy, unless he catches him with a head kick, has the power to do what Yoel was doing to him. But we started seeing that even with Kelvin. He was working a little bit. He was kicking some shots to the midsection. Then every once in a while, he would throw one of the little question mark kicks.
Yep.
And then he'd work it up to the head, you know. And that's the kind of thing that I thought Kelvin did an incredible job of staying on top of that and being able to put two hands up to block that stuff. So I think he only caught him maybe once where it was kind of flush. Yeah, every other time he had some hands up to do it. And I think that'll be on Robert to kind of make sure. And I don't see Robert forgetting that point, you know,
technically sound.
He's so technically sound that I think it's going to be incredible, but I still will lean towards Whitaker. I think no matter how well I think Izzy did, because I think the power and Robert's not going to waste a lot of energy, I think, trying to do a senseless takedown. Kelvin really started showing it, and then he ate a lot of elbows. Those were vicious. Some of the times when he was really set, like trying to get it, and Izzy wasn't going anywhere.
Right.
And he did that John Jones sharp elbow sort of thing to the head, or if you want to call it a Travis Brown, whatever. It was very, very interesting. So I'll still lean Whitaker on that one, but you're right. Going down to Australia and New Zealand is going to be incredible for that fight. Those Australian fans deserve it.
Oh, they're amazing.
They're going to be so hyped.
So drunk.
Well, they're going to be drunk as well. I mean, they better be silly, silly things. I won't say the word. But
you wanted to drop the C bomb. I know. You can only do it while you're there.
I know.
Just because you're talking about them doesn't make it allowable. It's only when you're on soil that you get to drop the C
bomb. When you're there, you have a beer, you become an automatic honorary Australian, then you can start using their languages. But yeah, that should be good. But it deserves to be down there. And I think that it'll be incredible because that country is so big. That continent's so big, and everybody travels. You know, I mean, we talked to our Australian buddies, and they're like, oh, yeah, the fight's on the other side of the continent, but they fly over there, and they make it, you know. So
I'm interested because, all right, so beforehand, you know, Izzy had already started taking some shots at Rob, right? Like, you know, basically talking about how little he fights, how rarely he's defended the belt, and I thought that's good. I mean, you want to keep your name in the discussion, right? I mean, you want to make sure that you let it be known that you want that title shot. So that was good. But then afterwards, man, he doubled down when he called him a fake Australian. He called him a Mossy, which I had to look up. Which it's a slang term for somebody of Maori descent that claims to be an Australian or what have you. But so it's not negative. Like, I don't think it's like, you know, like an N-bomb or
like
something like
that. Yeah, I was going to say, it sounds pretty like racially charged
but
to me.
I didn't see any Australians up in arms about it, so it can't be that big of a deal. But I just did think it, because I will say this.
I have always
found it weird that Whitaker was born in New Zealand. But, I mean, he moved to Australia when he was like 2 months old, I guess. So I understand why he associates with Australia. But it is funny to me that he always kind of like tries to almost distance himself from New Zealand. Like if you say he's from there, he's like, no, I'm not. I'm from Australia. It's like, nah, bro, you were born in New Zealand. You are from New Zealand, and he kind of doesn't associate with that.
Yeah.
So I thought it was kind of funny that Izzy was poking at that, and I imagine that little rivalry would get a little bit more intense if they're getting kind of charged like that. So,
interesting. Maori is a race. He's talking on his race.
All right, there you go. It's the racism.
Hate. Stop the hate.
Stop the hate crimes. All right, listen, so again, apologies that we couldn't get the and a half for 236. Please know that it was not due to us not having the intention, and please know that it was not due to any lack of respect for those fights, because they were phenomenal, man. It was fantastic. And it's not like we could even do it at the airport, man. Trying to get home, the airport was crazy, man.
It took us a whole fucking day to get back. Did I tell you they lost my luggage, too? Where it never made it. They scanned it in Atlanta, and they never put it on the fucking plane. That's how bad they were in Atlanta. And I wasn't the only person. I mean, like, one, I went back to the baggage thing. You always carry shit on, so you never see. But when I got over to the American thing, the whole backside of where it's weird. McCarran has a shitload of carousels, but they only use one in the corner. The whole backside was roped off full of ones, and in front of the American was all full. So it was a giant L in front of the check-in thing,
of baggage
waiting there. Wow. So when I got my thing and I checked in my scan, on the app, I was like, oh, wait, well, it says that it was scanned in, Atlanta. And sure enough, she confirmed it. She's like, yeah, it was scanned in Atlanta, but for some reason it never made it onto the plane.
Oh, nice.
So it must have just sat there on the tarmac or sat somewhere. Oh. So it ended up getting delivered midday the next day, which was fine. But luckily it wasn't like I was – luckily, it was coming home and not going to an event.
Oh, yeah, because you don't have your gear.
Part of the gear would have been in there. So it was just like, shoot. So, but yeah, it was an ordeal. So, yeah, but I think by the time I got back to the house after dealing with the baggage, because we landed late with the delays, I think I got back home at around 2 a.m. So, yeah, it was a hell of a day.
It was
a hell of a day.
It was brutal, man. It was brutal. All right, well, listen, somebody else who had a hell of a day. How about Dan Ige? All right, Dan Ige takes to social media this morning and says, you're not going to believe this. Somebody has shown up to my door and taken my blood and come to find out that they are not actually from USADA. They got to the wrong person, and bizarre. I tried to run into him. I was hoping I'd see him at the Performance Institute because I was there, but I just missed him. He was leaving as I was arriving. So I got him on the phone because I had to ask more about this insane story where he basically
asked him if the person was wearing a cape.
Gave blood to a stranger.
Did they say, I want your blood? I'm coming for your blood.
I was what, like Superman wanting his blood? I don't get it, man. I get it now. That was a Dracula reference.
That was a Dracula reference.
All right, well, here's I didn't ask him that, but here's what I did ask him. This is my conversation with Dan Ige.
What's up, John?
Not much, man. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. Doing a little better.
Dude, what happened this morning, man? Somebody just showed up at your door and took your blood?
Yeah, so, I mean, let me start from the beginning. So, pretty typical, wake up call, 6:30 a.m., hear my doorbell ringing, they rung it like 8 times, too, and I'm, like, getting up, getting dressed, walking to the door. I opened the door, and it was one lady, she's by herself, she's like, oh, we're here to take your blood. So I was like, okay, come on in. And I'm like half asleep, so I just think it's USADA. They're showing up, doing their job, and I didn't even question or think anything else, And so they took my blood, and they took a lot. They took like 3-4 big vials. And so I was like, oh, that's a lot of blood. And they're like, oh, yeah, we're just doing your labs. So I'm thinking, like, my labs? Okay, well, is there any paperwork we gotta do? And they're like, oh, no paperwork, everything's digital. Just, let me write down your name. So I was like, okay, last name Ige, first name Dan. And they're like, they actually said John. They're like, oh, you're not John? I'm like, no, I'm not John. who are you trying to reach? They're like, this isn't, I'm not gonna give away my address, but they said this isn't 123 so-and-so lane. And I'm like, no, that's across the street. So these people, they don't even work for USADA, just showed up, took my blood, went to the wrong house, had the wrong person, took my blood. And it's just, I don't even know, like, what are the odds and the coincidence? Like, if I was anyone else with, like, I'm just a regular person, someone came to test my blood, of course I would be like, who are you? I didn't order a blood test. What are you doing here? But just the odds that I do get, subject to testing at all times, I didn't even question that. And the crazy thing is they still have my blood because I told them to get out of my house, and they took my blood.
Wow, so, that is crazy, yeah. Man.
Dude, it's insane, man. I don't know.
Are you, I don't know, have you contacted you saw? I mean, I don't know. I guess I'd freak out a little bit and be a little bit scared, you know?
Yeah, because, like, well, first, I mean, I was pretty mad, of course. You know, I went on that rant on Twitter and Instagram. And then like, the responses I got, like, oh, okay, now I'm getting kind of scared. Because they're like, oh, you're going to get framed for murder or, like... you know, get cloned or HIV or I don't know. I was like starting to freak me out a little bit. So I actually went to the house where they said they were supposed to be going. I knocked on the door, rang the doorbell a couple times, but no one answered. So I'm trying to figure it out. Like, okay, who are these people? I want to at least find out the company. The lady was really nice. Don't get me wrong. Like, I didn't want to like curse her out, but she screwed up big time, man. I screwed up too, I guess.
Well, but like you said, man, a normal person would, you know, question it a lot more than you were because you're used to people showing up and asking you for blood and urine.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I was just trying to cooperate and, you know, do what I have to do as an athlete, but yeah, that's crazy.
That's nuts. So you don't really know what they were trying to collect for originally. Like, I mean, I know like insurance companies and stuff collect that and stuff. I mean, do you know what they were actually trying to do, or did you ever find out?
No idea. I was literally still asleep when this all happened, and I'm still trying to figure that out. Who knows? I need to figure out who my neighbor is and what they do and why they get... I don't know, man. Hopefully I get some more information, and I'll let you know.
Do you think you'll go get, like, a medical test or something like that? I mean, I guess there are health concerns, right?
Yeah. I guess. I mean, well, they got some clean blood, if that's the case.
Jesus.
So, yeah, man.
Jesus. Oh, that's crazy, man. Sorry you had to go through that, man. I appreciate sharing the details. That's wild. I didn't know if, like, you were just playing a trick on people or that what was going on, man.
Yeah, I know, because everyone's like, is this a joke? I'm like, no, this is not a freaking joke. This is real. I'm just more mad that they, like, I don't get anything. I didn't even get a freaking lollipop or a cookie or anything.
Oh, that's nuts, man. Well, I guess why I got you, man. What's the plan for fighting, bro? You had a pretty amazing one last time out, man. Give us the update. What's your plan?
So, I mean, I'm obviously I want to fight, you know, International Fight Week, July 6th. That's what I'm aiming for. I don't have an opponent yet, but I guess it doesn't really matter who. I'm just trying to work my way up. My goal is to get to the top 15 this year, so whoever I got to beat to get there, that's who I got to fight. No word yet, though, but that's when hopefully we'll get on that one. It's looking good, but I just don't know who I'm going to fight.
Nice. You get that big bonus check yet, man? Did you do anything fun with that?
Yeah, it just hit the account. I'm buying a house, so I'm going to put that all down on a house, start from zero again. So it's kind of motivating.
Yeah. Is it going to be a different neighborhood, hopefully with some gates or something, or that people don't come up and
see your blood? Yeah, there's a guarded gated community. they need some serious credentials figured in.
That's awesome. All right, bro. Well, sorry I missed you. I actually just got to the PI as well, but I appreciate you doing the phone call, man.
Yeah, no worries, John.
All right, brother. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye.
That was Dan Ige breaking the news that he wants to fight in July, International Fight Week. Oh, and also, by the way, sharing the story of how he gave his blood to a random stranger this morning. Now, listen, I do feel bad for Dan because I can see right away that people would be like, bro, what's wrong with you? Why would you just give your blood to somebody? But these guys that are signed up for USADA, it's not surprising to have somebody come and ask for their urine or ask for their blood. So in that way, I feel bad for him. But I also feel like somebody dropped the ball here, man. I feel like any time I've ever given blood, I mean, they're checking my ID. They're making me sign multiple pieces of paperwork. So, like, this lady apparently is not very good at her job or something. It's bizarre, but I guess it's a big lesson to everybody in the UFC that's a part of this testing program. Be sure and ask somebody when they show up for their ID. But it does seem like just such a random set of coincidences. Like, because a normal if somebody shows up at that door right now and asks for our blood, we're gonna be like, "What are you talking about, dude? I don't need to give you my blood."
Right.
But he just happens to be a pro fighter that's tested under USADA. So, but still, it seems like there should be safeguards in place that should have kept this from happening.
Yeah, it just I mean it. One, you would think that if that's the case, that whoever is running this thing, which I've read some reports that say that he's been in contact with the neighbor who supposedly was the one that was supposed to give blood, and that he's been in contact with this lab. I would think if people know who this lab is or whatever, they need to revisit their procedures. Bro. If in fact, I don't know, it sounds so bizarre and so weird and so just like, not right, not real. It's just weird, like the fact of like somebody coming and they don't identify themselves. They just say, "I'm here to take your blood." They don't give a name. They don't say where they're coming from.
Unless they're wearing a cape, in which case it makes
sense. Yeah, unless
sense.
They're wearing a cape, then you understand that. I hope you have garlic nearby, or some holy water. Does holy water work on vampires? Yeah, it does.
Yeah, holy water.
If you have some holy water to splash on them or something, it just seems really weird. But, I guess, I don't know. I wonder, I'd be interested to see how other athletes treat it. If somebody shows up at the door, do most of them ask for identification? Does USADA have identification that they're supposed to show? And so if that's the case, has he not had to do one of these before where maybe like they don't show it? I would think
because I feel like they're supposed to take your driver's license, like write your ID number down.
Like anything, just to make sure that the sample is legit. I mean, unless you are John Jones, you know, how does this USADA or whoever, and I'm just putting them because he has a lot
famous.
Of name value.
He's famous. Yeah. If it was Conor McGregor.
Like, if it's Conor McGregor or something, like the person comes and be like, "Oh, hey, Conor."
Right.
I mean, no offense to Dan Ige, but I'm sure the person come up wasn't like, "Oh, hey, you must be Dan," unless they are like the hardcore of the hardcore.
Did you pick up a Performance of the Night bonus last month in London?
Just last month, right? You know, so I just think it. I think it's just bizarre, and there's a lot of just things that just seem so weird and so off. But regardless, taking the story on face value, that is so bizarre and so crazy. That somebody would show up.
What if it's just like some weirdo that like has a fantasy for human blood or some like maybe it wasn't another lab? Because you're right, like nothing they did is right. If his story is, if he's telling the truth, then I don't have any reason not to believe the guy.
I got another conspiracy theory, but you finish.
If there's, I have no reason not to believe the guy, right?
Right.
So I mean, Dan's always been cool. He's always been, he's a good dude.
It's so out of left field if he was to make this up.
Yeah, like,
it's so out of character.
Who the hell would make up something like this, right?
It's a stretch.
But you're so right because I've given blood a couple times, not many, like for life insurance and stuff like that. They come by. And I've actually seen the drug test be done before that USADA does, and you have to like. You have to pick a sample. You have to sign off on the sample.
You have to sign off on the sample. I was going to say you even have to sign your thing off right there.
And
it says like the name.
I approve this vial. I'm okay with this vial. You know, hey, let me show you that this has not been tampered with. Do you agree that this has not been tampered with? Yes.
Yeah.
Sign this label. You know what I mean? So like, and I gotta be. Okay, that's USADA, but I imagine that any lab collector, because these people don't actually work for USADA, they're just hired by USADA to follow a procedure and collect. I'm sure that everyone. So what if it's really like just some weirdo that is like trying to pass their own drug test or like trying to like I don't know, they want to drink it, maybe they do wear it.
I was gonna say it'd be interesting. It'd be, I guess, in twofold, a couple weird conspiracy things is if they did in fact say this was something that is just so enamored with him and maybe just wanted his blood for their own like weird cult practices or whatever. But here, this is a completely far out field. What if, you know, because you always wonder sometimes if some fighters or not even just a fighter, people want to come up with a story to explain something that's going to happen.
Right.
You know, so right now he has kind of this blank check that he could say, if there's an abnormal blood result or something that is about to come down the line, he can always try to use this moment to say that he was infected by this random person that's coming. That's my conspiracy thing. Like, say if his blood comes back tainted and he comes up something, or say if he comes back and he tests positive for whatever, this now sets him up to where he can be like, it must be because of this. And, and now you have the UFC on record saying you should go file a police report. I'm not saying that's what this is. This is conspiracy hat shit.
That's conspiracy theory.
But, you know, this is, in a sense, giving him – this is, I mean, this, it is. But if you're desperate and you know that something's coming down the line, what would you do to save your career? What would you do?
I mean,
what would you be willing to
say? I guess the fact that we know Dan because we see him a lot, like
that's we're taking his word on
that
it.
That does not
There's
seem
no
like
proof.
Something Dan would
There's
do.
There's no pictures.
But if
of
this was some, but
coming?
What I'm saying is, if this was some random athlete that I had never met before, I've never heard of before,
right.
I could go, all
right, right. Well, a lot of people are saying the same thing about Angela Magana when they were just like, "Is this real?" Until you see shit happening at the hospital,
yeah.
There were people that were saying, is this real? That this wasn't real.
That was bizarre.
You know, so, I mean, like, I don't, like I said, from everything I've met from this guy, I think it'd be completely out of character and weird if this was ever, like, a made-up thing. But just talking, like, let's be weird podcast hosts talking about some conspiracy shit. That shit could happen, but it just doesn't seem right. This lab or whoever these people, I would be interested to see how anybody else.
They should never collect blood again.
They should never, ever. They should not. They should not be working for this company anymore. Yeah. For them to not come and either identify themselves, or if they did, it should be fighters should, you know, maybe a good lesson for anybody that has this happen is like, make note of the people that come. You should be able to take a log. You should be able to go back to a journal and says, so-and-so from so-and-so visited me at this point, and I gave this.
That's true.
You know, if you can't go and say, I don't know what the person's name is, and I don't know where they're actually working, that's a little bit weird, you know? I mean, I would be interested to see what fighters do
to safeguard themselves. Just have, like, a notebook or something.
Yeah.
Be like, hey, every time somebody goes, I'll write it down. And, like, hey, I know you're recording me, but I'm recording you, too.
You should.
It's not a bad idea. That's actually
– I mean, they really should. And I would just be interested to see what other fighters have dealt with, what their experience is. When somebody comes to their door to collect, what is the procedure that happens? You know, I mean, it's easy enough. I'm sure we could probably reach out to some of the people here in Vegas and be like, when somebody comes to your door, what is the procedure? And maybe get the from USADA or from the UFC, in your minds, what is the procedure that happens? I mean, they're paying for these people to come administer their fighters.
Yeah.
What is the procedure that they're supposed to happen when they come? And how are you safeguarding the safety of fighters
right.
and your athletes?
Yep.
Are they supposed to come, identify themselves? Are they supposed to have a second person with them that's just watching the proceedings to make sure that no shady shit happens? I mean, there should be safeguards in check, and I don't know what those are. And I've never really thought that I needed or that we needed to. But if this is the kind of weird shit that can happen out there because it's so wishy-washy, they should fix it so that wishy-washy shit can't happen. I mean, no fighter should be giving their blood. I mean, what are the fucking random chances of somebody else coming for somebody else's blood work but happens to show up on your door?
So crazy.
So crazy. I mean, it's a whole street off. I mean, are they just going by random Google Map GPS points on a fucking map? I mean, how do you not have the exact address? That doesn't make any goddamn sense. So,
and how do you ask the name after you've taken the blood?
After you've taken the blood. There's a lot of weird shit that doesn't add up.
This is somebody that just wanted blood. They consume
they
blood.
They literally are vampires.
They consume blood.
Or they are some serious, like, whatever weird blood cultists or something where they make, like, blood sausage but of, like, young, fit dude's blood.
That was crazy when he said that people told him like he might have a clone coming soon or something like
that. How cool would that? But they'd have to have he would never the timelines would be different. It'd be weird. It'd be better if there was like a machine that could make the baby or the clone grow up quick enough so he could actually see himself. If not, it would just be a baby. Then you'd be like, oh, that looks like me, you know. 20-some years ago.
Bringing you the best MMA discussion in the game today. It's the MMA Roadshow.
So which country would make the baby cloning thing
Log
come
into iTunes. Make sure you subscribe.
Would it be Korea?
Rate
the Russians?
Review us. Hopefully give us 5 stars if you got some feedback on how fantastic our MMA discussion is and how on point.
Up next, time machines and ghosts.
Hey, man, I tell you what. You know, you mentioned Angela Magana's name. It's great to hear that. You know, it sounds like she's doing better. But I'm not gonna lie.
Have we seen her on camera? We've only seen that she's done.
Right.
Has she made any sort of videos?
I haven't seen it. As a moment of us sitting down
legit.
Now.
That's like crazy. I mean, I just wonder what her.
Like, I hate to admit it, but like know. Even I was like.
I think everybody was. I initially thought was like, fuck. I mean, I hate to just judge like. Puerto Rican medical systems or whatever, but I was like, fuck, why are you getting surgery there? But if you live there, that you trust it, whatever. You know, but I just know when the power's outage and there, everybody's still saying like, oh, we're still facing shit. You know, I think it wasn't planned that she had to go in the surgery. I think something happened and then she had to do emergency surgery or whatever. But the whole foreshadowing of her thinking, I don't like having to go under anesthesia. I don't feel right. You know, I don't know if I'm going to wake up. You know, she put that shit out to the universe or something. The universe was like, by the way, I'm a big cyborg fan. Let's do this. That's how the universe sounds.
I feel bad, man. I'm glad. The universe is weird.
The universe sounds like this. Do you want teas and crumpets, too?
There's no even English accent there. Why would they mention teas
she
and crumpets?
She could still like it. I'm thinking more like Mrs. Doubtfire.
Oh, universe.
Universe is funny.
Oh, universe.
She wears a big floral dress as well.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, man. I feel bad saying it, dude. Like, when it first came out, I was like, I don't know. Because, you know, she's just always been involved in drama. So I'm glad to hear that she's doing okay. And I kind of feel like a piece of crap person for not.
Well, I think everybody initially thought, just, I mean, you know, to use the terms that the young people use out there, every once in a while people would say that some of her posts was she was being thirsty. I hear that means that she lacks water in her diet.
Did you freak out thirsty?
I did. But a lot of, you know, or looking for attention, you know, is what I'm told thirsty means.
Right.
Needing
to be quenched.
Needing to be quenched, I guess. But yeah, I'm glad she is as well. And I mean, you know, shame on people out there like us thinking that initially could have been what it was, because that is some serious shit. So I'm glad she's good.
No doubt. All right,
even thirsty people don't deserve to be in comas.
That's right. Let's talk about some MMA news, some MMA subject matter, since we've drifted far off topic.
MMA stuff for real.
Listen, I had a chance to do several interviews. One of those was with Joseph Benavidez. Of course, we know he's fighting Jucia Formiga in what is believed to be a number one contender fight, but he's in such a weird position right now, not really knowing kind of what's going on with the flyweight division, not really knowing what Cejudo's going to do. Just an odd spot. So I wanted to get a chance to catch up with him, and we had he was very frank and very open and very honest, as he always is. So I thought I'd play this for you guys here, and this is my conversation earlier today with Joseph Benavidez.
Yeah, so everyone, after the Alex Perez fight, because the fight got stopped in two nights, I had to beat the guy twice, they started calling me Joey two times. Really just like me and like one other person, or maybe I just called myself that. Either way, everyone's calling me that. But so after that, I get the fight with Dustin Ortiz, so that's also the pass, but like I had to beat him for a second time. Beating all these guys two times. Formiga comes up, I'm like, oh my God, now it's the present. I have to beat this guy twice. But then you always look ahead to the future, and I'm like, my next fight would be beating Cejudo twice. And it's just like Joey two times is like born, you know, in the cosmos with a destiny. So, now I call myself that.
We'll try to make you catch.
Yeah. That'd be good. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess everyone's doing it. It's like, I don't really like it, but, you know, spread the word.
Well, originally when this fight was announced, Dana kind of made it seem like you guys would be fighting on the same night as the 35 title fight, right?
Yeah.
Did they ever talk? What happened? Did they talk to you about that?
No, I think I looked at it as a mistake, honestly. Dana was kind of breaking news. Obviously, the guy has so much going on in his mind. And we filled in for the last fight with like TJ and Cejudo, or I did. So I think he kind of just, you know, rolled it off without really thinking. And I'm sure someone after was like, oh, they're not at the same weight class. And I thought the same thing. I'm like, well, that's not the same weight class. I'm not going to train to fight for Miga at 35 and then be a number one contender at 25. So I looked at it as a mistake because no one ever said anything from it. And then right after that, you'll see they made like two good 35-pound fights on that card.
Right.
I think they did Aljo and Munoz and Rivera and somebody.
Yeah.
Right? So I think they're like, oh, that's different weight classes.
Okay, so you're not technically the backup.
No.
It was confusing to me.
I was,
they just go up.
Me too. I was glad he said we were fighting for number one contender, but they're like, we'll put him on the same card. I was like, it'd be cool to be on the same card for like time schedule, but I was like, that doesn't work out. Like, I'm not fighting at 35 for, you know, so yeah, I think, like I said, I think it was just confusion maybe happens when you got so much going on, I guess.
Got a lot going on. It's straight so tough. Well, all right. So does Joey Two Times go back and watch the first fight? And that was a long time ago.
It was,
but
yeah.
I feel like you guys have probably both evolved a lot since then. But did you go back and use that as data at all?
Yeah, more just to see what he would probably use as data, because that's a natural thing to do. Well, he beat me. What did I maybe have success with? It was a short fight also, so there's not a ton to look at it. We're both different fighters, so I'll look at it. But it's all about the recent fights, seeing what he's doing, what he's done, you know, how he's improved. Even looking at my recent fights and seeing what is he going to see, you know, that he thinks, you know, that I've been doing. What have some of my tendencies been, you know? And then from there, just really leave it to my coaches to, you know, adjust the game plan and my training, rightfully so. And then, you know, I just work on being the best I can, knowing where I can maybe have advantages in the fight.
He's such a specialist at what he does.
Yeah.
I mean, do you spend an inordinate amount of time doing jiu-jitsu than you would during a normal camp, or do you have to be careful, like, not to focus too much on
it? Yeah. It's always in the back of your mind, so you switch things up, but the guy's solid, you know? Like, his stand-up looks really good. Like, no one, he doesn't get beat up on the feet either, and he even, like, hurts guys on the feet. He lands clean shots. You know, like, the Ben Nguyen fight was a really good, you know, he throws back fists and stuff like that, so his stand-up has improved. Even in our first fight, like, it's basic, but it's fundamental where he doesn't make mistakes. So, you know, you can't just be like, oh, we're just going to be on the ground the whole time, because, you know, I don't think he'd be able to take me down anyway, so I'm going to have to respect his stand-up and maybe some desperation from his stand-up. But the jiu-jitsu is definitely something you look at, because MMA, grappling, and jiu-jitsu is so different. Like, even my last fight with Dustin Ortiz, like, we grappled. We, like, fought on the ground. We weren't giving up inches in position. Jiu-jitsu is it's an agreement almost. You start doing jiu-jitsu, you know. Like, even if you go to jiu-jitsu gym, like, we're on the ground for 5 minutes. If you're trying to do jiu-jitsu to somebody in an MMA fight, they don't have to agree to it. They'll get up. They'll not even settle for it. So it is a little different. I'm so used to grappling MMA, you know, holding positions, winning scrambles, especially at my weight class. So when I grapple these 5 minute rounds, like, where you have to stay on the ground and, like, the guy's not trying to get up, you're kind of like, oh shoot. But then you see all the different layers that there is from a guard and all that stuff. So I actually have switched that up, like, you know, doing less just like, hey, escape, win a scramble, to like, what are the ins and outs of, like, you know, jiu-jitsu game, back control, which he's really good at. So stuff like that.
Yeah. As you said, Ben, Dana said this was a number one contender fight. I know you're tired of answering it, but I mean, what is it? Is there rumors around these hallways of what's happening? Are you reading the tea leaves? I mean, when he says it's a number one contender fight, does that make you feel good about the division?
Yeah, that makes me feel good, like, but it's like that initial, like, fix of just like, oh, cool. Like, that's right now. Like, I'm fighting for number one contender fight. A title fight might be after it. And even if there is a title fight, which I think there will be, you know, I mean, if Henry loses, you know, he's still going to be like, I'm the 25 champ. Like, you're not getting rid of me. He has to defend it. But then I kind of look at the state of the rest of the division is like, it's getting set up for failure and being dissolved because there's no one to defend it with after that. I mean, me and Formiga are up there as the number one contenders to fight Henry. But Henry wins, I win, you know, for, like, who are we going to fight after? Each other? Again, you know? So that's kind of, you know, there's nothing solid right now, obviously. We're still fighting. But the way it looks to me is everyone that's losing is getting cut or being forced to move up. And that's clear as day, I think, to everybody. If you get cut, you're moving, or not moving up, you know? So, like, really good guys have got cut because they lost, but then guys that are coming off wins who can't be cut, like, not that they're not good, but, like not as good as names that have got cut, like a Jordan Espinoza, a Kai Car of France, or something, like, they're still on contract because they haven't lost. But when you lose, you can get cut or forced to move up, and I've seen it already. I've had 25ers tell me, coming off a loss, well, I want to fight at 25, but they say I can only go fight at 35. Or I don't have a job, so I'm just like, well, that's kind of weird, because if you can fight at 35, why can't you fight at 25? You don't want to get cut. And then I know some other guys that were just called and were like, hey, you're a 35 pounder now. And then they were just so happy to not get cut that they were just like, okay, I'll do it. You know, so that's what it looks like. I mean, it's clear as day, you know, like everything's getting dissolved, but I mean, it's not over till it's over. I'm sure everything's always, you know, almost dead until it's not. So, you know, doing everything we can to like revive it, but it definitely doesn't look good. But it looks like there'll hopefully be another title shot, and, you know, maybe that'll just cause some more influx. I mean, guys can obviously, that went up to 35, you know, could go down, you know, back, and I don't know if you could re-sign the guys or something, but like I said, it looks like the plan or whatever is in play.
Does that get in your head at all? I mean, like, I gotta imagine, like you, everything you accomplished, as long as you've been around, like, I can't imagine, like, let's say you, God forbid, you lose to Formiga, like, I mean, could they go, thanks, Joe, we're done with you, man. I mean, that doesn't seem possible, right?
Yeah, I don't think that would, but, I mean, it's not a much better option to be like, cool, man, now you have to fight at 35, like, so now I can't even fight at my own weight class. You know, that's why it was made. And you see how important weight classes are. I mean, Max Holloway is one of the best pound-for-pound guys in the world and has done nothing but improve. But Poirier grew in to a weight class, you know. And everyone looked in and is like, well, he's just bigger. He can't walk him down. All his punches hurt. And it's just like, that's why there's weight classes. You know what I mean? Like, it's not, it's... And it's even more prominent in the smaller weight classes because the percentage, you know, like 5 pounds at 125 is 10 pounds at like 155, 145. You know, that's why when you get heavier, the weight classes, you know, can separate more because it's less percentage. So that's the hard thing, too, is this like, well, it's not like a good option for anybody, you know, that is a 25 pounder. You're like at a real disadvantage. Like, that's why there's weight classes.
What would it be for like for you if like, let's say you do get a title shot and you win the flyweight belt, the thing you've been chasing, and then they go, by the way, that was
the there's no one to defend it for. I mean, it would be a story in itself, I guess, because I fought for the first one and then I win the last one. That's a good story, I guess, but if there's no one to defend it to, I don't know what it really means. So, yeah, I mean, it would be definitely a weird thing, but that's how it's looking.
That's crazy.
It is. It's silly.
What do you think about Cejudo up there at 35 right now, man? Do you feel like he's earned that right to go through that, or do you feel like he should be at 25? Do you feel like he's hurting the division by chasing after
Pace? Hurting the division, for sure. I see where he's coming from, because he wants to be a double champion. He didn't get the chance to against TJ. It was TJ's chance or whatever, and he knocked him out. So he's like, I am the best 35-pounder. We were the same weight. I stopped a cheating guy, in 32 seconds. Like, I'm going to go up and beat anybody, you know, that's not cheating, and I'll just be 10 pounds heavier and have a legacy and be a double champ. And everyone's so infatuated with that stuff right now, but it does hurt the divisions. Like, nothing ever good for the divisions involved has really come from it. Like, it's been cool for like an individual, but then they're just like, oh, well, now that weight class is dead, like a women's 45, or like, you know, even like the 205 and heavyweight was kind of like, oh, well, now just switched around, heavyweight's kind of hurt, I don't know. So there's never really been anything like great to come about it, or anyone to defend it, or actually like be like, hey, I'm actually the champion of both divisions and I'm going to defend right like I should. So it is weird. He's definitely hurting. So he's definitely hurting the division when he does that. I mean, I think most people are, but it's such an individual sport. And this is where he's not really given a choice as much. I mean, he's given a choice, but it's the same thing we talked about. Like, hey, here's your choice. Get cut or fight at 35. It's like, hey, fight this guy at 25 for this amount of money, or fight this guy at 35 for this amount of money and legacy and that. So like, it's not a choice for him, because he's just like, oh, that's an easy choice. And, you know, it just goes with the plan, you know? So it's easy for him to choose like that. So you can't really look at Cejudo and say he's hurting the division, even though what he's doing is, but it makes it seem so enticing to go do something else, where like, oh, this, well, don't you want to get paid double, triple, and this and that? And then it's just like, oh, of course, I'll do that. You know, without looking at the future, then you look at the state of the division, it's already happening. So of course he's going to pick to go fight for 3 times the money or 2 times the money, you know. with nothing to lose.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I look at it. But, you know, he kind of put himself there from the beginning. I mean, he won the fight. Everyone looked at that fight with TJ to kind of like, you were going to save the division. And then he did it. And then he made it known, you know, right away that he wanted to start the 35-pound thing. So it's just kind of like, you just did what everyone like thought would save the division, being called the savior of the division, and then you call for a 35-pound, you know, fight. And I've talked to Cejudo, and like we have really good like respect and stuff for each other. So I would never think like, oh, well, why would he not want to like go cement his legacy and be known as the best and chase this and chase that on top of, you know, all the money that's being offered to him to do something like that. So, you know, it's kind of a hard thing. Like, he definitely has a more enticing option because, you know, the people that make the options make it that much more enticing. So,
you mentioned TJ's name, former training partner. Man, how did that impact you to see that news come out?
I mean, it didn't impact me. I mean, I wasn't surprised at all that he finally got caught. You know, wasn't surprising at all. There's nothing I can really say, like, as far as, like, that hasn't already been said that's, like, bad. I'm not going to sit here and say the guy is this and that, because if you look at the internet and everyone, it's already been said. So, you know, there's nothing worse you can say than what everyone already thinks, which I think is warranted. You know, everything that people are out there and giving him, it's 100% warranted for what he did. But it just goes to show, like, there's consequences for what you do, and you can't hide who you are forever. And I'm surprised it took that long for him to get caught and hid and, you know, kind of what he's about this long. So, you know, but you can't hide that stuff forever. So it's great that it came out. There is consequences. And I mean, if anything, I don't even think the consequences are that much if you look at it for like, you know, so, I mean, it's not that bad. The 2 years, get some surgeries. You got paid the day after the fight anyway. So it's not like you're getting suspended for the year. But, you know, like I said, it's all the other things, you know, all the disgrace and everything that is warranted and maybe hurts more. But like I said, you can't, I mean, the truth will come out at some point and you can't hide that stuff forever.
Well, it's going to be an interesting time for you. So this fight is being, it seems like there's a title fight on the other side.
Yes.
I mean, give me an idea. I mean, what do you feel like you got to do? Is there some feel like you got to go out there and make a statement? I mean, as you said, I know you're trying to save this division. How do you do that? Do you got to go smash somebody and show that you're dangerous? Do you got to be in some entertaining back and forth fight that people go, oh my gosh, these guys are amazing? Do you have to talk trash and be Conor McGregor? Some people pay attention. What's the goal here?
Honestly, man, like, it's crazy because everything that has happened for the division to stay around, like Cejudo winning, they still made this fight. Well, Cejudo winning, there was a chance that, like, oh man, like they might make him in TJ now. TJ tested positive, like 100%. Now, like, he has to defend. They still did this, they still did that. So, sadly enough, you can do the craziest thing, throw a guy out of the cage with his head decapitated and whatever. But, like, the higher powers, the people with more power than you, are going to do whatever they want and they think is best. So it's honestly, the sad thing is you have to look at that and you have to not take it personal, and you have to, I don't know. It's terrible that you're at that point where it's like you have to like accept that stuff. But everything that has already happened for like us to keep, you know, making our own division and 35 for it to be its own division. Like, we've proven everything, you know, stop this guy. Then he tested positive. So now they lose a champion, but there's contenders here. Like all that stuff has really already happened, and still, you know, what's happening to our division doesn't make sense. So there's really nothing you can do. Like, it's a sad thing. It's a sad thing. It's just like, you can do whatever you want, but then it's like, oh, that was a cool fight. But just like the Cejudo was a cool fight when he knocked out TJ in 32 seconds. Oh, flyweights are this, flyweights are that. Great. Now we have a good fight here and a contender that he hasn't, that he has a loss to. Made 100% sense. But they still want to do him and TJ. And it was just like, TJ tested positive. Oh, well, now there's no way. They have to do, let 35 be its own thing. Let 25 be its own thing. Still didn't. So what else are we going to do, honestly? And that's the reality, I guess.
I hate to end on a sour note. Tell us a good thing.
That's the reality, though, right? I mean, so, yeah, where do I go from here? Is like, yeah, I'm, like I said earlier, the only thing I have is, like, it is not dead. Like, I'm still fighting for Miga, who's a top guy, and I have to beat him to get a title shot anyway. My main goal is a title shot. I mean, yeah, my main goal is to save a division and rebuild it and stuff, but it's just like, you know, you can do everything and it still might not. So, I mean, you still have the motivation to win the title that you've been chasing the whole time, even if it's the last one or not, which I hope it's not. And I don't want to like set this up as in like that, but I'm just saying I'm not naive to the fact of like what's happened in the division. Like there's, I don't even know how many people are left fighting in it. So yeah, there might be a title shot and that's the main goal anyway. I mean, that is probably above like, I'm saying like a lot, sorry. That is probably above, you know, the, my priorities. Like that's always been my goal. The other thing is like something you can't stop anyway, but the things I can control is, you know, beating Formiga and then, you know, beating Cejudo again. So yeah, that's it, man.
Right, welcome back to MMA Roadshow. I hated to end the conversation with Joe on kind of a down note, but the bottom line is, you know, he was kind of accepting, to be honest, of the dissolution of the division, man, and he laid it all out. And you know, it's I guess I can appreciate his brutal honesty. I mean, it's not like the observations he's made aren't being made by other people as well, but to be right in the middle of it and to be able to see what it is and what's really happening. You know, I guess I applaud him for that, but I gotta think it's gotta be a little bit distracting. And, man, if he does win this fight and he somehow gets a title fight and wins the title that he's been chasing for so long, and then they get rid of the division, I mean, that would be, I don't know, that would be bizarre. And of course, you know, we didn't spend a lot of time on it, but not mincing his words about TJ Dillashaw. I mean, probably not surprising that he was as critical as he was, but, you know, still jarring, I think, as we're all trying to accept this thing that happened with TJ Dillashaw and what it means moving forward, man. It's I don't know. Joseph's in a weird spot, man. I can't imagine he'd be one of these guys that they just go, ah, you lost, and we don't have flyweight anymore, so see ya. Yeah. I mean, I feel like he's been around and accomplished too much, and he means too much. But I don't, man, he's in a weird spot, dude. He has to answer the question all the time. He does a really good job of it. As we're all trying to figure out what the hell is going on and if this thing's going to end, when and how. But I can't imagine it doesn't impact his happiness, impact his focus a little bit, you know?
Yeah, he's another one that's probably high on that list of guys that have been grinding I want to see get something. You know, it's just unfortunately he's in a tough, tough division. But when it comes to probably one of the nicer guys in MMA has literally done anything that we've ever asked, you know, it could be media day or whatever. It's like, Joe, we got this some random ass idea for another video or something. Can we grab you again? And he's always been open to it. And so I have the utmost respect for his work ethic, you know, even outside of fighting, you know, the stuff that he puts into a fight week and he's willing to do. So I definitely want, and you know, I like his wife. His wife's not so bad.
Yep.
You know, I want good things for him, and he's another guy that's been on that list that I would love to see him get what he's been striving for.
That'd be awesome.
And it would suck if the division should go away, but you know, it would be a small hurdle for him, you know, to go up another division or whatever.
Is that a flyweight joke?
It wasn't intended to be, but it's no small hurdle. I mean,
I would like to. I mean, he could fight at 135, but as he said, you know, it's tough, man. There's weight divisions for a reason. I'd love to see him continue at 125. So we'll see what happens, man. I'm anxious to see how this all plays out. All right, this weekend, Saturday, we are not there. It's the first show we've missed this year as a staff at MMA Junkie. So it's the first UFC that we haven't gone to, and I get it, man. This card, UFC on ESPN Plus 7 over in St. Petersburg, Russia. There's just not a lot of English speakers on it, number one, which makes the content kind of useless if everything's going through translators. So, you know, not a lot of massive names on it, not a lot of English speakers on the card. And it's just expensive to get to Russia, man. You have to you have to add visa costs in. Not only is it a long flight, but I mean, even if we were to send like, you know, Abby Saban from London, I mean, even he has to get a visa, you know, and it's not cheap and it takes time. And it just, this one was kind of a pain in the butt, unfortunately. So we don't have anybody for live coverage, but we will, of course, be covering it. I do say, I like the afternoon cards. This might be a little early. For our time, it's 7 a.m. first fight on Saturday morning. I mean, I do like the fact that we'll have our evening, which is cool. You know, we can cover an event and then still have a little time at night. But, yeah, 7 a.m. is a little bit early for first fight.
Yeah, that's early.
Alistair Overeem, Alexei Oleinik. I talked to both those guys earlier. I put up stories on the website. It's interesting. They had cross paths before. They had trained with each other before. They had helped each other out. Alistair Overeem helped Oleinik get ready for Krokop. Oleinik helped Overeem get ready for Mir. So they had trained together before. They're really friendly. They both consider each other quality guys, and they consider each other friends. Oleinik volunteered. He's like, dude, I had a hard time with him, man. He's like, I thought I'd really be able to get the better of him in the grappling department, and I couldn't, you know what I mean? And I don't know how much of that is modesty or how much of it is gamesmanship,
right,
you know, but if it's true, man, dude, you hate to think the fact that Oleinik is going to have to stand and trade with Overeem, because that's probably not going to go his way. So I am intrigued by that fight there. It is a big fight in the heavyweight division. I mean, both those guys, you know, neither one of them is willing to talk about title run. They get it. Neither one of them's right there, but they both want the biggest names and the biggest fights available. So this is a big moment for both of them. You do have the return of Islam Makhachev, of course. Islam Makhachev, the good buddy of Khabib Nurmagomedov, and he's been involved in everything that happened along the way. And so this is his triumphant return, I guess. There hasn't been a lot of focus on it. I think the UFC has decided to kind of keep that one over there. But, man, if you saw the scenes from the open workouts, man, there was a ton of people at the open workouts in Russia earlier today or last night, depending on kind of what time zone you're sitting in. But a big, big turnout there. A fight that I'm definitely intrigued in, Roxanne Modafferi, of course, from right here in Las Vegas, is going to fight Antonina Shevchenko. A tough matchup, but I did talk to Roxanne, and she said, listen, I'm not intimidated by the, you know, in the least by this fight. You know, Antonina is not Valentina, number one. You know, they're two different people. And listen, I have a lot of experience, and, you know, I obviously think I'm a better grappler, and I think my striking is better than people give me credit for. And she's anxious to get out there and test herself. Of course, Antonina, just her second UFC fight, but has a ton of hype. That last name doesn't hurt.
Doesn't hurt. Does carry a little extra pressure. But I mean, she's got a great kickboxing background herself. I mean, so she's bringing some experience. Yep. It should be interesting. Who'd you pick in that one? You homered.
I had to homer.
I kind of homered a little bit too, but
I'm not saying that Roxy, like I picked Roxy, and there's definitely a homer pick there. I mean, I see her 3 days a week. She teaches my kid jiu-jitsu. You know what I mean? Like, there's no way you're gonna pick against somebody like that. You know, she's my kid's jiu-jitsu instructor. But it's not like I'm saying this is ridiculous. She has no chance. You know what I mean? Like, look, she could. You know what
she
I mean?
Could.
Like, she is tougher than people give her credit for. She said it herself. She said, listen, I know I look awkward. She's like, I get it. People discount me because I look awkward. She's like, but look at my accuracy. You know, look at what I land. You know, and look, she's definitely the better grappler. I think there's no question about that. So it's possible. You know, is it a tough assignment? Hell yeah, it's a tough assignment. Yep. I respect Antonina Shevchenko a lot, but I did. Come on, I can't pick against Rosie.
Yeah. I actually went Modafferi as well. I think a matter of, like, I still feel like even though Antonina's got a lot of experience, she doesn't have the MMA experience, and especially on the scale like Roxanne is.
Right.
I think even though it being so far away, maybe it won't have the same sort of feel of whether if it was in the States, maybe it'd be a different sort of crowd, so maybe more people might look at her over there and be like, oh, okay, I'm going to root for her because she's undefeated. You know,
right.
They maybe don't know. But I could see Modafferi surprising her if Antonina is not really giving her the respect of someone that has as many fights. I don't think this is going to happen. I mean,
no.
She seems very, very sharp. She's gonna go into the fight knowing what she's going up against. I just think that experience, Roxy's going to go in there feeling very confident. Her hands lately have been looking better than ever before. You know, and Roxy's not going to be afraid to kind of go in there and mix it up. And the thing with her is she wants to get a hold of her.
Yep.
So if they're trading and banging and somehow it gets up a clinch up against the cage, that's exactly where Roxy wants it to
go.
Right. You know, and then if she gets it to the ground, I mean, Roxy is a beast. on the ground. Her ground and pound even has came up quite
yes.
a bit. Like, people look at the submission, but Roxy's been doing some serious damage, too, in the ground and pound lately. So, I don't know. I kind of homered for a little bit. I've been watching her and kind of following her and filming her since, you know, she's been over in Invicta and other little things. So, I was happy when she's made the switch over to the UFC. But I literally do agree the fact that I'm not homing it to the degree where it's just about seeing her. I believe that her skill set can get the win.
Listen, I you know, Anthony.
We might only be the only two that picked her for this one.
Might be a little local Las Vegas homering. But, yeah. You know, listen, Antonina against Ji-Yeon Kim back in at the Ultimate Fighter finale. I mean, I thought Antonina was fighting a very outmatched opponent there and wasn't able to put her away.
Right.
You know what I mean? And
I think so, too.
So had she gone in there and just annihilated G in the first round, and maybe, ooh, God, we got ourselves a killer here. And I'm not saying she's not a killer.
Right.
But I don't think, you know, she's the type of person that it's just like, dude, you're facing Amanda Nunes. Like, if you get clipped, it's over. You know,
I still feel like that's what it's like. Yeah, I still feel like we're seeing the early versions of how great Antonina is going to be at, because I do firmly believe that she is going to be great at one particular point. But I still feel like this is the time where I think the women in the division want to fight, should be wanting to fight her, because she's not fully fledged to where she's going to be.
I agree.
If she was on a scale of 1 to 10, I think right now in the UFC, she's probably maybe a 7.
Right.
And this is not saying that she can't fight the top ones. I think she is still yet to grow into where she's going to be in this particular division. So I think it's a great time for Roxy. I think Roxy's going to go in there with all the confidence to do it, and that might be enough to kind of swing, because she's going to go in there believing that she can win.
Absolutely.
Not going in there thinking like, oh, I'm fighting this Shevchenko name, where I think some fighters might go in there and think that they're fighting somebody that has Valerie right there, right there behind her. You know, that's not the case in this one. So it should be interesting. It should be interesting. So
we'll definitely be watching.
Hopefully, we look like the geniuses when Roxy gets the win. We'll be like, oh, we knew that.
We knew all along.
Right,
with confidence.
Along that it was
didn't
going
even have
to
anything
happen.
To do with a homer pick at all.
No
just
homering
totally, we
at
really
all.
Broke it down, and we just were leaning that direction.
Now if she goes in there and gets starched, I'm like, well, we knew it could happen.
It's a tough assignment, dude.
It is.
It's not easy.
I mean, if Shevchenko can keep the distance and keeps it a striking battle and uses her legs and can keep that distance and constantly work the legs, and if Roxy's trying to just kind of muscle in there and use the striking, because when it comes to kicking, I mean, it's night and day, but I think Roxy's hands have improved quite a bit. But if Antonina can keep the distance, I think she could piece Roxy apart.
Yep.
So Roxy's going to need to close the distance she has to get a hold of her.
Yep,
so
I agree.
Be interesting.
I dig it. All right. Well, we will have as full a coverage as we can on TV. As we don't have anybody on the ground, so we won't have a ton of video stuff coming out of that. But again, not a lot of English speakers that you would have been able to hear interviews from anyway.
Yet?
So we'll.
Yet?
Is that your Russian?
That's like, how do you say like no? But in like
it.
Yet?
I have honestly never heard a Russian sound like that at all.
Well, you know, I'm a quarter Filipino Russian. Yet?
Ridiculous. All right, listen, another interview I did this week at the Performance Institute was Patrick Cummins. Patrick Cummins has been
in
around
your
the game
face.
For a bit. He is.
Was he all up in your face in the interview?
Just Cummins in your face.
We're bringing you Patrick Cummins in your ear.
So ridiculous. No, but Patrick is actually training out of Syndicate for this fight camp. So,
no shit.
He's taking advantage of the Performance Institute. He's working in Syndicate. And I've always liked him. I thought he's always a good dude. But now that he's in town, I figure, hey, let's sit down and talk. And he definitely talked about, you know, kind of where he is in his career. You know, he's not a young guy. And he had a rough 2018, and he was very open and honest about kind of assessing where he stood, and I don't know.
How's the stash?
The stash is in fine form.
Okay, good. That's what people really worry
about.
And
the audio, you're going to get to hear the audio here. If you want to see the video, that'll be up on MMA Junkie, and it'll be on YouTube as well, but the guy has such talent with the stash.
Oh,
even
shit.
As
oh,
he's
shit.
Talking, he'll kind of
caress it,
just massage.
I thought
you were
gonna say like the it started massaging itself.
He'll just kind of be talking and kind of ruffle his fingers through the mustache.
Yes.
It's strong. It's strong.
Yes.
All right, here is Patrick Cummins.
Well, sir, we're not used to seeing you living and training out here in Las Vegas.
I know.
Give us the idea. What was the motivation behind coming out here and setting up shop in Vegas?
It's about time I take advantage, right? my coach Neil Melanson moved. He lived here maybe 5-6 years ago, and kind of set up a network. So he's bounced around. I met him in Florida, and we went to Colorado. We were kind of like in between for a little while, and he came down to San Diego for a second, and he landed here. So I was like, all right, I'll come check it out, see what's going on. And my buddy AJ Matthews was training for a fight, so I came out and helped him out and just kind of feel it out a little bit. And now, yes, Syndicate is my home, and I'll do all my extracurriculars here at the PI, and it's nice. It's really nice, actually.
I was going to say, talk about, as a fighter, using the USCPI. You know, I know that they want everybody to come, but I feel like maybe there's hesitation for some people. What were you concerned with?
I mean, there's no concern, really. I think it's just the fact that, like, can you afford to bring your camp here? And, you know what I mean? Like, the only reason I am taking advantage of it is because things just happen to fall into place here. It's like, I don't have the means to pull my whole team from wherever, put them up, and, you know, have them come train here just so I can, you know, get some PT and strength training. You know, I mean, it just doesn't make sense. And eat. It's like, I'd rather just save the flights and, you know, putting guys up and just kind of do my own thing. So, but I'm fortunate that it's working out this way.
Is the free food the best part? I feel like that's what everybody likes the most.
That's the way to my heart for sure.
Well, give us the idea of how is training going so far. I mean, we're about a month out at this point from the fight. I mean, I guess starting in a new place has always got to be like a leap of faith to go into a training camp, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I feel like I've been so nomadic the past year or two that it's kind of become second nature for me. It's not that big of a deal. But it is nice to kind of roll into a place and, you know, make friends like right away and have, you know, decent guys to train with and have everything set up and kind of cater to you is nice. So it was, this transition's probably been the smoothest of all of them. Nice. So
I know 2018 didn't go the way you wanted to, 0-2.
No.
No. Give me an idea. Well, I mean, where's your head at after you have a stretch like that? How do you keep yourself in it? What do you have to do?
Well, I mean, I just said, I'm going to take a step back. I'm going to get out of this for a second and just clear my head, make sure this is actually what I really want to do, you know, because I'm 38 years old and it's like, what's the point of doing this, you know, if you don't think you can get yourself to where you want to be. And I've kind of readjusted my expectations as far as, you know, I've always put pressure on myself, like, all right, we got to string 3 fights together, and then we're going to push for a title shot. You know, and it's like, that goal's lofty. And, that's how I've always operated my whole life, you know. And you know, I've always shot high, always. And it's paid off. But I think, you know, in the past couple of years, it's kind of put an extra stress on me that I don't need. And, you know, fighting's hard enough. And, you know, when you put the pressure on yourself, like, hey, what are you doing this for? What, you know, if you're not going to be the number one, like, what's going on? And the problem is I really enjoy doing it. And you know what I mean? It's like, just take it one step at a time and just, you know, enjoy the process. I really enjoy training and I'm an active guy. I really enjoy that part of it. So it's like, don't let it drag you down and, you know, build all these things in your head. Like, oh, what's the next step or what? Okay. I'm going to win this. And then like, who cares? It's like, this is the most important thing. I'm in the moment right now and I'm going to go give it my best. That's all I can do. And if it happens to, you know, couple string together and it works out, great. But at this point in my life, I'm just kind of like, man, it's a fight by fight basis, and if it happens, it happens. You know, I've kind of come to grips with that. It's sad in a way, but I think it's also realistic, and I think it's helping ease my mind.
Do you, knowing that, do you have any, I don't want to say like regrets, but I mean your path, as you said, like
it was so dumb. it was so dumb.
I mean, yeah. After your grads, I mean, you've literally. I mean, obviously, the way you got in was insane.
Yeah.
But then it wasn't like you took a huge step back for a long time. I mean, you were fighting monsters the whole time.
I know. Well, my mindset was always like, all right, you had your first pro fight when you're 30, which is so different from everybody else, and you know, it's like. Either we're going to do this right now or it's not going to happen. And so I was always like, let's find the best guy and beat that best guy and just, you know, let's fast track it. And, you know, in hindsight, that was freaking stupid. Like, what are you doing, man? You know, and I see guys, you know, younger guys I see now kind of picking their path and doing it the smart way. And I look at them and I'm just like, man, you guys are so much smarter than me. Like, what is wrong? Why did I do this to myself? But I mean, at the same time, you can take that, you can take the easy way too long and it'll affect you. You know, you need to be tested, but yeah, I wish I would have just slowed it down a little bit. I didn't need to have that crazy rush because it's been 5 years now and it's dragged me out. I've been fighting top 10 guys for the past 4 years now and it's like, ugh. So it's good to take a little step back and just kind of readjust and just focus on one thing and not, where's this fight going to take me? What, you know, because that's always been me. So I'm just gonna relax and have fun.
Nice. Yeah. Talk to me about this matchup, man. When they put it together, at first I thought they're putting you with the old guy, then I realized you guys are the same.
I know.
You're like 1 month younger. You know?
Yeah, so, yeah.
What do you think about the fight itself?
I mean, I think the difference between us is he has more fight miles on him. You know, we definitely have the same amount of miles on us. You know, I'm sure he's feeling the same aches and pains I am right now, but. I think it's a cool matchup. You know, he's a guy that's been around forever, and he's that crafty veteran guy. So it's going to be cool to see how things match up. And you know, I'm sure the same way he has. You know, we've watched each other forever, and I know him personally. Just here and there, just chatting it up, just like every other person I fight now. You know, it's such a small pool, but you know, he's a nice dude and. It's going to be fun to put that aside, scrap it out, and then, you know, go have a beer afterwards.
Nice. Knowing where you stand, I mean, does the fight have any significance to you? I mean, it sounds like you step back, you evaluate it, you find out you still love it, but as you said, it's fight by fight. So does this have, like, some kind of significance over where your career goes? Or?
Well, I mean, I think my last couple fights are just kind of... They really fell short for me. You know, I mean, obviously you lose. It sucks. But just kind of my mindset going into it and just feeling the way I felt, you know, I felt really good and I was just so disappointed when things just didn't work, you know, and it's like, what am I doing wrong here? So, you know, I want to get rid of that feeling, honestly. And if I don't, you know, it's the fight game. Anything can happen. But If it doesn't, then I'll know for sure that, like, okay, like, cool. It's maybe my, you know, the ship has sailed or what, you know, whatever. It's like, I just want some answers. And I think this is the, you know, trial by fire is the best way to do it. So
we'll see what happens. Does it have to come through the result? I mean, does the
answer? No, not at all.
Like,
not at all.
Lose and say, but I fought well. I felt good.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just like everybody. I think everybody's chasing that performance, you know, that they know that they're capable of. And it's like, man, I want the opportunity to do that. And that's kind of what's keeping me in it, because, you know, I've adjusted my goals a little bit and now it's like, I just want to do the best I can possibly do one time and just feel it. Just like, you know what I mean? Just be like, oh yeah, that was it. So, I mean, the chances of that happening, I know, are slim, but, you know, I could get 50% of that, or, you know, 75% or whatever it is, and it'll be better than what I've done previously, so it'll feel good. So, and if not, it's kind of, you know, I'll be like, well, shit, that sucked. And, you know, and now, you know, it time to reevaluate. But I'm not putting anything on it. It's not like, hey, this is, I'm going to give it one more shot. So, you know, it's not like that, but I think for a minute, I kind of thought that way. And then I was like, wait a minute, I like this too much. You know, it just doesn't, it wouldn't make sense to do it that way. Cause it's like what I'm trying to do is take pressure off. And you unknowingly put a ton of pressure on yourself when you say, this is my last one. We're going to go for it. It's like, eh, screw that. Let's just keep going.
If somehow you could know where you stand now, back when you answered the phone at the coffee shop, I mean, if you knew where the journey would take you, the ups, the downs, everything you'd go, I mean, would you answer the same and say, hell yeah,
I'm going to get DC? That's a very good question. I mean, yes, because I'm, you know, I'm all about the adventure and the road, travel and the road. So a lot of things that have happened to me, you know, from these experiences, and I, you know, I wouldn't change it. You know, it's same when bad things happen. You know, it's like I look back at my life and man, I screwed up a couple times really badly, and my life wouldn't have, you know, I wouldn't have changed courses that way, and I wouldn't give that, you know, I wouldn't change that either. So, good or bad, this is the path.
Back to the MMA Roadshow. That was Patrick Cummins
in your face.
Did you get a wet nap
for your ear?
Oh, you're terrible.
Did you get a wet nap
you're
for
so
your
terrible.
Ear?
You're so terrible.
Just better clean that up.
Hard hitting MMA discussion.
Just clean it up.
Look, Patrick is, you know, I appreciate his respectability, man. It's his honesty, man. He admits, you know, it sounds like the end is coming near, but, you know, I don't think he's done just yet, man. I feel like he's, you know, he's got, I don't want to say necessarily another run in him, but he's got a couple of good fights left in him. So, man, he really has just had a crazy ride in the UFC. And, man, I was actually surprised to see that him and Ed Herman are only 1 month apart in age. That seems
really
so bizarre to me, man. I didn't think that was going to be it. So, all right, listen, in addition to the UFC on Saturday, this is kind of a slow weekend for MMA. But Sunday morning, just mentioned now, there is Rizin. If you wanna check that out, man, it's actually a pretty decent little card, man. King Mo Lawal is fighting for the inaugural light heavyweight title there. He's fighting Jiří Procházka, who a lot of people thought should have signed with the UFC when they went to the Czech Republic. So he's on there. Tension is on there. Tension Nasagawa was, but in a kickboxing fight this time around. He's at his actual preferred sport. And then Kyoji Horiguchi versus Ben Wynn. That is a phenomenal fight there as well. Our good buddy from Australia, Damian Brown, he's back there, man. He's got another fight for them, so that's fantastic as well. It's a pretty decent little card. So it starts at, I want to say, 2 a.m. Eastern time on Sunday morning / Saturday night. So if you want to watch it, it's on Fight TV. I think it's going to be a decent little card. We'll have full coverage of that. I'll actually be staying up in the middle of the night and watching that and getting that covered. Then next week is nuts. Should say that you are heading out to San Jose, California.
With Mr. Magnificent One.
The Magnificent One, Steve Morocco. You guys will be handling Bellator 220. Meanwhile, Matt Erickson is going to be down in Florida covering UFC on ESPN3. With Jacare and Jack Hermanson. So that's going to be a busy weekend because we've got dual events on the same day. Crazy, though. Also on the same day, earlier in the day, is Cage Warriors and KSW. So there's strong European shows in the morning before those shows at night. So it is going to be a busy-ass Saturday full of MMA, but you will be bringing us coverage from San Jose, California.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
All right, listen, I want to bring one more interview because, you know, Joseph and Pat, man, they were both very reflective and retrospective and introspective and all those things, all those big words that I don't normally use. So I'll shift gears a little bit because the one and only Yancy Medeiros is in town as well. And if you need somebody to get you fired up, Yancy Medeiros is your guy. And this dude, even though he's coming off a loss and a disappointing outing last time out, this dude is nothing but high energy and make you feel good. So if you got a little down over the craziness that was earlier, see if Mr. Yancey can pick you back up as he brings his aloha spirit from Hawaii.
Yeah, so we don't get to see you here in Vegas much when it's not fight week, man.
Yeah.
Give us an idea. Why'd you come out here?
Just utilizing the Performance Institute over here. A lot of the fighters, you know, just I've been at home rehabbing. I've been trying to train, get ready for a camp. And, you know, my coach is like, hey, man, why don't you go to the PI and go get fixed up? Because I don't complain. I just, you know, just go in there and just, like, old school. So I'm glad that now that we're getting older as fighters, we need to be functional. You know, I see all these OGs, Chuck Liddell, Nogueira, them, and they're all, you know, just see that they've been through wars, and it's like, dang, I want to be that age and be functional and mobile, so coming here and taking care of myself.
That's cool. That seems like the buzzword these days is, like, recovery. I mean, that's, like, the focus, right? It's not so much about intensity and training. I mean, you guys do that, but about recovery and resting properly.
Oh, I think that's the biggest thing. Like I said, being functional, being flexible is part of recovery. And just people think being flexible is weak, but I understand that being flexible is the ability to flex, meaning from here to there. You know what I'm saying? You want to be strong in every aspect. So now I'm getting like that. I'm like trying to be like Bruce Lee, you know, and be one like that. And he was flexible. He was one with himself and he was strong. He was functional. He's well-rounded, and that's what, you know, I'm trying to be.
Very cool, man.
Yeah.
Well, I know you couldn't be there for your boy Max, but give me your thoughts on that one, man. Obviously, an epic fight.
Epic fight. I mean, well-deserved on Dustin's part. Everyone has mixed reviews, but, you know, to beat a champ, you got to fight like a champ. And, yeah, I felt like Dustin came back to where he wanted to prove that he could get the belt. I feel you leave it to the judges. It's whoever it is, you know. You leave it to the judges, you leave it to the ref, they make you cry. I felt I could continue in many of my fights, but the refs don't see it that way, the judges don't see it that way. So for me, it's like, that's what you gotta accept when it goes to the refs and the judges. The best thing to do is prevention. How do I, you know what I mean? The best defense is prevention. Don't get there again. So I think, you know, I think for Max, it was like a 6-week camp, and I think he did great off a 6-week camp. You know what I mean? No excuses, I'm just saying, Max having a longer camp, way different results, I think. Not saying it'll alter the win or the loss, but I'm saying if he had 13 weeks to train like Dustin, I think there's a lot more variables to take place.
It's an interesting thought.
Yeah, and then, you know, everyone's like, oh, Max can eat punches. I mean, yeah, I punch him. You know, like, that's like my main sparring puncher. I make sure I don't try and hurt him, but yeah, so that champ can eat wax. He's not a champ for nothing. Like, he's tough, man, and he's my main sparring partner. And he don't spar with the light guys. He spars it all 55s and up. So yeah, it's definitely it's a natural weight class for him and me. And probably that's, like I said, my main sparring partner. I can train with that champ every weekend, you know.
That's nice. Well, last time we saw you was January, man. I know that was a frustrating fight for you, man.
Oh, very, very.
What kind of lessons did you take out of that? I mean, obviously, that's a tough dude, man.
Yeah.
And obviously, he's where he is for a reason.
Oh, for sure.
Was it just a stylistic matchup, or were there lessons you could take out of it? What would you take?
Yeah, when it comes to this fight game, people get caught and game plans get established straight up. And when I came in there, Gregor established his game plan better than I expected. I didn't expect him to be that much of a wrestler, and I got, you know, I was like, oh, I see. And I'm not gonna jock him, that's his style. That's what he implemented, he did it that night. You know what I'm saying? Now that I know what type of style he brings to me, I get back to the drawing board. How do I get, everyone's like, oh, yeah, you know, you have one more second left. I didn't feel like you lost. I'm like, I didn't feel like that either. But the ref didn't feel like that. That's his eyes, he's watching out for my safety. In the end, can come back home to my family. You know, I'm safe, get back to the drawing board. Don't get caught in that shit again. You know what I mean? Anybody that hates to lose, their ego is gonna hurt. It hurts. But my spirit is still lifted, man. I'm a joyful individual. And I get better and never bitter in these situations. I turn those losses into lessons, man. It's definitely left an imprint on me, and I know what to expect on those levels of real good prestige wrestling.
So is it just as simple as, like, you got to get in there and grind wrestling more than you'd like to?
Well, I mean, that being said, it's just I feel like I underestimated his wrestling. It was that. You know, I thought I could scramble more and get off, and he maintained me better than I expected. And it's hard to get those type of looks repetitively, especially in Hawaii. Now I know, though. You know what I'm saying? I get back in this. I get a longer camp. I got better preparation. More preparation, better fight. That's all my next one is, just good preparation for my next fight.
Nice. What about 155 pounds? Is that the future, or?
Still there, man. Yeah, I'm like 170, 175. There's no reason for me not to it's a natural weight cut. And like I said, I eat plants, bro. So I'm back to eating plants. I'm on that gorilla status.
Okay, so, I mean, you're basically doing vegan, right?
Yeah, I say plant-based because vegan, they're like, oh, you're against eating meat. And I'm like, nah, I ain't against it. I know culture. I know conditions. I eat plants. I stay in my lane. I don't challenge people's values. It's my value. It's my truth. I just stay in my lane, man.
Is it a moral thing, or is it more just, is it just a health thing?
At first it was a health thing, and then now it's it was morally healthy because now I understand. I got more educated in being plant-based, and now it's not just nutrition. It's my way of life, and it's made me healthier in a lot of aspects, spiritually. Eating plants, bro, has made me less judgmental and more observant. In life, in every aspect, you know, I don't judge, man. I just observe. Like, oh, I like that. Nope, I don't like that. I continue on my way. So I feel like it's been healthier for me. It's made me a healthier human being in every aspect, mentally, spiritually. I was always happy before. Now I'm joyful, bro.
So here is, now that you're here, I mean, because obviously you're here doing some rehab stuff. They talk to you guys about nutrition and things like that. Mm-hmm. Have you talked to them about your diet and what you follow and what do they think?
Oh man, the thing is with this the Performance Institute, they don't go against you. They go with what you feel good with. They put in more data. I'm all about collecting data. So if I can get on that scientific level with some of my bro science, make it better, and then we just collaborate like that. I mean, before I never used to like being wrong. Now I like being wrong because that gives me room to learn, right? If I'm wrong, then that means I can be corrected. That means I can get smarter. People don't like to be wrong and they get challenged. I'm like, okay. You tell a scientist he's wrong, he's like, oh. He gets all like, oh, why am I wrong? He gets into it. I'm more like that. Like, okay, if I'm wrong, then I got room to learn.
That's interesting. Yeah. So if people like that, they're inspired by what you're saying. I mean, are you following a specific program? Is there something people can do? Or are you just kind of making it up as you go along and how you follow your diet?
I mean, for the most part, I'm pretty logic driven. You know what I mean? We're herbivores. We just so sophisticated and we adapt so much that we learn to eat meat in our cultures, in our environment, in our atmosphere. You don't expect Eskimos to be growing greens up in Alaska, right?
Nope.
No, we learn to survive. We're gonna go and eat meat and use that for energy. I get that. It's culture, it's environment. I'm not against that. I understand. But for me, it's like, bro, I'll go down a freaking rabbit hole about being herbivores and all that. But I just know, since I've made this move, it's been more health. I've been a better human being. I've been a healthy human being. Not just me, my family. Like my dad lost 70 pounds. My coach lost 80 pounds. My mom lost 30 pounds. My daughter's lost 15 pounds. And this is just all off of being plant-based.
That's crazy.
It's no rocket science, bro. We just eat plants. But like
I said, what do you eat on a typical day?
It's like we evolved backwards. You know what I'm saying? Back in the day, when you was caveman, right? Like you go back to the cave and then you have your girl, right? And you're like, oh, we need food. So you go out and you go hunt. Back then, we don't understand nutrition. We just understand surviving, food. What are we doing over there? What's the girl doing? She's over there taking care of everything in there. You're going out hunting and you're fasting, right? You're not over there. You got all this breakfast, lunch, dinner. What was breakfast, lunch, and dinner 1,000 years ago? We never had that. That's a condition. So we learned all of that. We learned how to eat meat. We learned all of this. And now I eat more plants and I feel more connected with myself. Like, bro, I'm so flexible now. I could put my head between my legs, throw my head up, my legs over my, it's just crazy. I evolved backwards. Like I'm just wake up, no inflammation. I'm not even drinking coffee. And I'm all about coffee. Yeah, so I'm just saying it's better. It's been a healthier thing for me. Nick and Nate got me into that. I'll always pay homage to them. They got me into that 6, 7, 8 years ago before even fighting got into nutrition. They were on that from the get-go about eating plants. Jake Shields, all those guys introduced me to that. And then last year, I just made the change completely to just not eat any animal protein.
Crazy.
Yeah.
That's cool, man. Yeah. Let's talk about the fighting career, man.
Cool, yeah.
Once you get yourself all back in shape and feeling good, what's the idea? I mean, are you looking to fight again soon? Or are you taking your time? What's the thought?
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, I just want to get better. Ever since I got home, I've just been trying to correct myself, get stronger and all the things I need to work on. I mean, that's like, whether I won or lost that fight, the outcome still would have to been the same. I still would have to get back to the drawing board and get better, get ready for my next fight, and that's what I want to do. Unfortunately, I couldn't get on Max's card. I mean, it's always good to get all these locals on. It feels like we're all family, you know? We just keep that ohana, the family, and we just go through. But, I mean, whenever. I'm just ready for that. Summer would be nice. Vegas, keep it here. It'd be cool, you know? I could commute back and forth to Hawaii. It's super easy coming from Hawaii to Vegas. So, I mean, you know what? Sean Shelby, you know, your boy's ready. Give me somebody good for a fight night. I'm ready for a performance.
You're hoping it's somebody that'll stand and trade with you? I mean, do you get frustrated when you face a wrestler
I don't get frustrated. That's the name of the game. You know, unfortunately, some guys, like for me, I'm a fighter. I know that. I want to entertain. This is a business of entertainment. All the people around in the crowd is watching me want to be entertaining. That being said, though, some guys ain't in there. They're in there to win. Win a second, win a round, win a takedown, and hold them. And they're totally happy with that. And fighters like us get butthurt about that shit. You know, they're like, damn, like, but obviously, there's no problem with the company's going to do that, so why am I going to get emotionally affected by that? No, I'm going to get back in the fucking gym, and I'm going to get better, because I don't want that kind of shit to be happening. I don't want to get held down, and I want to be contained. I want to get better, not bitter. Yeah, it's all I make room for.
I told you, Anthony Medeiros, he'll finish things upbeat, man. And he's actually—I gotta go back to the performance to tomorrow morning because he said, "John,
he's gonna bring you something."
Yeah, he's like, "I brought some candy for you. I brought some chocolate covered macadamia nuts, and I forgot to bring him by today." He's like, "Please come back here tomorrow.
You save some, of
and
those
I'll have a box."
Well, I know I probably shouldn't. I'm trying to cut back on my sugar. Never mind.
God darn it! They're so good.
Those are good. He loves those things. He should be sponsored by them. He literally brings those all over the place. Everyone like. I hope they're giving him something for that, or just saying like, "Here, young man, spread the word. We will send you boxes."
Yeah, at least give him the candy for free.
Boxes of candy.
So
they don't look cheap. No. They look like I don't know what that box would cost, but it's a nice box.
I know, and he always brings them. He's got to pack them in his bag and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, just it's a good dude, man.
Good dude.
How do you not like Antsy?
I like him.
You have to. By the way, a bunch of interviews will be coming to MMA Junkie and the YouTube page and the website as well. So if you like some of those interviews, I also spoke to Manny Bermudez, Tim Means, caught up with Mike Jackson today, Brad Tavares as well, Tim Elliott. So a bunch of fun interviews that you can look out for over the next couple of days. So listen, hockey's on. VGK, they're losing right now, but you know they're trying to advance in the playoffs. We got to support our local team, and I actually need to go home because I have to cover the weigh-ins from Russia that are happening in the middle of the night here. So,
what time is it going to be on?
11 p.m. Pacific, so not too bad. From 11 p.m.
No,
to 1 a.m., so it's not that bad.
I was going to say I might turn them on. I might.
No, you won't.
I know, I probably won't.
No, you won't. I don't blame you. I wouldn't blame anybody else for not watching either, but hopefully they'll watch the fights while I have full
coverage.
You
know what I did watch? Just because we can continue our nerd talk. I finally, last night, me and Agent H watched the Game of Thrones. Season 8, episode 1.
I've seen one episode, and that was with you. And
that was one of the early seasons.
I would probably like it, to be honest with you.
I think you would, but you have a lot to catch up on.
Yeah, I think at this point I just have to start over.
Right? Oh, you would definitely have to start over. Like, to jump in now, you'd be like, what the fuck is going on?
Right.
Like, who are these people? Why are they upset or, you know, something? But, it was interesting. It was interesting. It didn't get to everything that I thought. I thought there'd be more drama in the first one, but because there's not that much, but it's building. It's shit's about to go down. So
the Iron Throne, right?
Yes. There and it, yeah. See, we can't even talk about it because you haven't seen
it's the worst episode of the Roadshow ever. There's no question about it.
Let's go back to the talking about the. Time warping clones.
Let's not. If you made it this far, you're special. Thanks for listening.